So there is the sledgehammer in this one, or not the sledgehammer, but the jackhammer. Yeah. In that one, it's just the way tuned down.
The flute's still there.
The flute is hitting. The flute hits hard.
That's definitely. Like, there, Ron Burgundy on that jazz flute. Hardcore.
Tim the Toolman Taylor on that jackhammer.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It was probably Al. I would not trust Tim on a jackhammer.
Yeah, Tim's just drinking a Bud watching.
You know who I'd want to see on the jackhammer? Heidi.
Oh.
Okay, what was Pam Anderson's name on there?
I was just thinking the same thing.
Was it not Heidi?
No, Heidi was the one, the brunette that replaced her.
I think she was the third, maybe. Wasn't there someone in between?
Oh, God.
I know Pam Anderson.
Team.
Yeah.
Crowd research team.
Stop doing that and research this other shit.
Stop watching the Hot Bling Bling.
That thing went on for forever, though. Home Improvement.
8 seasons.
8 seasons? Holy crap.
Really? I feel like it was longer.
Seinfeld got 10. That's really? Just, yeah. That's like the benchmark.
I grew up with those kids.
The reason why it felt like it went
he
on.
He never actually grew up.
No, he never did.
Never did.
No, he never did. The reason why it felt like a lot longer, too, was we saw that series probably 10 times every year while we were growing up watching it. Because it was on syndication.
Oh, yeah.
Literally after it premiered.
It was great, though.
Yeah, man, it was a good show. Al Borland.
Yes, Richard Karn.
Good job, Dan. Great job. Man, not like you have IMDb up or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and I remember,
Lisa,
too,
Pamela Anderson's name was Lisa. Thank you, Craft Research Team.
There we go.
Thanks, guys. Continue to do what you're doing.
We're not paying them minimum wage at all.
Nope.
We don't pay them anything.
Yeah.
We actually don't.
We don't get paid, so fuck that shit.
Right, so yeah, there's no trickle-down effect there.
I will say, though, for starting his career off getting arrested with a bunch of cocaine, Tim Allen did a pretty good job.
He tried to smuggle it through an airport, right?
I'm pretty sure that's the story, yeah. Like a Brit.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart plan.
But I mean, you think about it, the TV dads of the 90s with Bob Saget, who was known to be the most inappropriate comic at the time, really.
Mm-hmm.
Foulmouth.
Yeah.
And then you had cocaine Tim Allen. That's pretty good.
That's been the best impression yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, working on him over here.
Just retire.
Can we hear Doc Brown being Tim Allen?
Hey, wait, guys. Here's my impression. Who am I?
Howdy, neighbor. That's a great... what was his name, actually?
Wilson.
It was Wilson.
No, here's my issue with this motherfucker, right?
With Wilson.
I completely on board with not showing his face the entire time, but they just got lazy towards the end of the seasons where you could just see through the cracks of the fence and obviously make out his face, and you're just like, oh, well, fuck. I mean, it doesn't even matter. This whole charade that they've been playing for all these seasons just ruined.
Because that was how shitty the story got, too. They were basically like, okay, this is the story of this season. We're gonna tease Wilson's face.
Which writer in season one got so baked that he thought that'd be an awesome idea?
Well, whoever he was or her, I thank them, because I mean that's like one of the most unique things that I can think of about like a sitcom television character. You know?
And let me ask you guys this: if you had children, would you let them talk to a neighbor that did not show his face over a fence?
That lived alone and had weird hobbies.
And wore a fishing hat the entire time.
But keep in mind, they go to his house all the time.
That is true.
I would probably check Megan's Law first, and then I would move forward with my decision.
That is true.
But
Wilson's Law.
You know, Tim Allen, for being, because he was a hit in the 90s, you know, Home Improvement, the Santa Claus.
Classic.
Franchise. I think my favorite film that he's been in, which is, I think, a cult classic, Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yes.
Bastards.
I love Galaxy Quest.
With Rickman.
Yeah. So that, the whole cast is very... It's Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver with her Justin Long. Boobies popping out.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sam Neill. He's...
Sam Neill's in it,
too. He's hilarious.
And he really hasn't done anything since. He's tried to recreate, like, himself on Home Improvement in multiple sitcoms. Now he's in a sitcom called, like, Last Man Standing, where the twist is he's a dad of daughters.
So you're saying that every night is a ladies' night.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay.
Jesus
we'll
is there,
that.
Too? No. Now I really got to see this shit.
Tim Allen doesn't really
Tim
strike
Allen,
me as somebody
a bunch of bitches,
Christian.
And Jesus Christ.
Do you remember, throwing it back to Home Improvement, too, do you remember, like, that weird season where the kid went goth?
Oh, for sure. Mark.
Dude, that was
Mark
so
went,
the youngest
Mark
kid.
Went goth.
So emo.
JTT went to, like, a different country because he was upset he was short.
Yeah. And I think that was payment.
And then didn't he get, like, cancer or something, too?
No,
he did, I think.
Yeah, what? He had some crazy disease.
Yeah,
you
in the show.
How do you do a sitcom around cancer?
Because I remember he was at the arcade.
With cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at the arcade and he was just like super pissed and Tim Allen comes in and
Did he make them write that because they were trying to explain why he was so short?
You know,
that's a better explanation.
Quite possibly.
That was part of his contract dispute. If I'm coming back, you've got to say I've got cancer, and that's why I haven't grown in 5 years.
Yeah. And I remember, too, the older kid always got into, like, this... Zachary Ty Bryan.
Yes.
Yep, I still remember that. The casting, because it would go... Yeah, I still remember that, though. But basically, what would happen is they would always give that kid the most shitty moral lessons to learn of the entire... They never... Like, the other two sons never got anything. But it was always the older son that always got into the shit. Whether it was with his girlfriend, crashing the car, stealing something.
Did he drive drunk once, too?
Yes, he drove drunk. His name was Randy. It was Randy, right?
I don't know.
No, Randy was the...
Crash Research.
Yeah, Crash Research.
Hey, guys.
Get on it.
Come on. Just
Brad. Help us out. His name was Brad.
Brad. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And then, ladies and gentlemen... We are Pop Not Soda.
Oh, yes.
Pop Not Soda, thank you for joining us. Episode 35.
Woo!
5 more years.
Oh, no.
Oh!
That's what I'm gonna do.
2 for 2?
Damn.
Two for two?
Right, on point right there.
Toolman Taylor, obviously, is your go-to from now on.
There we are.
And, you know, think about Toolman. A big selling point in why that show was, I'm doing air quotes, funny, was that Tim would just get hurt all the time out of his own stupidity.
Sure would. And most of the time, while on television.
And it would be entertaining.
It would be. People would... I feel like that's why they would receive so many viewers.
And Al just shaking his head at him every single time. But...
Are you doing some other kind of shaking?
Jesus.
Of the beard, Dan. Of the beard.
Of the beard. There were some injuries this week on television that were not so entertaining.
Oof.
Not Tim the Tool Man-ish?
Not falling like 3 stories into a porta potty. Not beefing up your motorcycle and not being able to control it. Not losing a lawnmower race with Bob Vila.
That happened.
I do remember that, actually. Holy
that
crap.
Happened.
You are bringing me back.
Okay. Don't test my home improvement knowledge. It was a catastrophic day in the NFL this past week.
Oh, it was a rough one.
You had Matt Forte go down with a knee injury, but he seems not to have torn anything at the moment.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell, number one fantasy pick in almost all the leagues I know of.
One of my leagues.
Badly torn MCL. You had Reggie Bush on a freak accident just slip on the tarp that's like behind the benches.
The concrete monster.
Yep.
Tore his MCL.
Yep.
Steve Smith, which breaks my heart because I love him, ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah, probably going to end his career.
Yeah. When they were carrying him off, he put a towel over his face because he was crying.
Yeah, he knew.
Cameron Wake for the Miami Dolphins on the Thursday ruptured his Achilles. Who else am I missing? You had
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, lacerated kidney.
Also on one of my fantasy teams.
There was the Lockett from Seattle got knocked the fuck out by the Dallas Cowboys. Ended up spraining a ligament in his neck that will require surgery. So he is out for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And then now there's the controversy that there's apparently film of Dez Bryant saying, that's what you fucking get. But Dez is like, that's not what I was talking about. I didn't say that to him.
Dez Bryant needs to worry about the fucking illegal monkey he has in his apartment
right now. No, leave him his monkey alone.
Before everything else. Yeah.
But man, that's like a dozen almost.
Right.
Impactful injuries.
And those are just like marquee players. There's also been a few linemen that went down as well.
Well, a Chargers lost a few.
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers specifically lost 12 guys, I believe, in total on Sunday.
Brian Oliver, done for the season.
I did not hear about that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know about that until right now.
He got placed on a season-ending IR yesterday.
Wow. And Keenan Allen is out with a kidney.
Lacerated kidney.
Yeah, and he's done for the season.
That is not coming back.
Nope.
Also, I'll just shed a light on my fantasy season right now. Jamal Charles, my first round pick in one of my leagues. I only have two leagues. Jamal Charles, Keenan Allen, and Le'Veon Bell. Now officially out.
You had all three of those guys?
No, well, I had Le'Veon Bell and Keenan Allen in one of my leagues.
Oh, that's rough.
They went out on one day
together,
and then Jamal Charles on the other league. So I'm kind of scrapping it up, thinking that this might not be the year that...
I'm going to go and say it's pretty fair.
Yeah. But doing it back on NFL, though, what is happening? Is it... Is the preseason too long? Are they not prepping too much for the season? What do you guys think is happening right now?
I mean, I think it's a combination of, number one, just freak accidents. You know, there's always injuries in football, but there just seemed to be a lot that happened over the weekend.
What do you think is exponentiating the frequency?
I think specifically last week there was just a lot of bad weather.
Okay.
And that was the first time that a lot of these guys played in wet or damp conditions where the grass wasn't pristine. So that always leads to slipping and sliding, and most of the time can result in some pretty serious injuries. And I just think that guys today run faster and hit harder than they ever have. So when you combine, guys that are bigger, faster, and stronger, hitting harder, the human body can only take so much. Not to say that players in other generations, were great athletes themselves, but I just think in total, there's guys that are just, on average, bigger, faster, and stronger
the
today
than the
way that
the sport has evolved.
Right. How early you start playing football and working out now, and just how, regimented and conditioned you are in these college programs now, where in years past, they would just party. And, guys just take it as serious as a job because it is, obviously making it to the NFL being the end goal. So, they just breathe football and, everything's better today than it was in the past.
And that's a good case in point, too, is I think what Brian's talking about is, these athletes are better, faster, stronger. And they're coming at a higher rate than they ever have before. And it's not a knock to what it was before. But you see all these documentaries and things, and I don't think anybody's not seen a documentary about the 90s or the 80s in sports or whatever. These guys were celebrities among athletes, too. So there wasn't much of a time outside of playing your game to prepare for your next game or things like that. Like, you had a minimal amount of time that was obligated to doing it or whatever. But beyond that was being a celebrity and things like that, too, where I think now you have guys like J.J. Watt or whatever, which, mind you, they do commercials and things like that, too. But at the same time, I watch his workout regimen or whatever, and I'm like, Jesus, I would never step 100 yards. I would never be close to this guy because he would destroy me or whatever. And I think these athletes today are just much more intimidating than they were. Because it's where it was the sport a while ago was, I think, flash. Now you just have raw, just visceral. Yeah.
I think another factor into the rate of injuries that we're seeing is because the NFL has changed the way you can tackle and its concussion protocol, because you can't really go high anymore.
And that's how people have been trained to tackle.
15 years ago, definitely. Right.
People are still playing.
You're leading with your shoulder, you're leading with your helmet, you're going high, trying to knock him off his feet. And you can't do that anymore.
You can't hit the legs like you hit the head or the shoulders.
There was a clear hit in the Chargers game that got flagged for unnecessary roughness, which is just shoulder to shoulder, but it looked bad. And so, I think it was a DB on a tight end, and the tight end kind of whipped back when he got hit. They threw a flag. Shouldn't have been a flag because that's football, but it's rare you see those high hits go unpenalized, so you're hitting lower on runners more often. That's why I think you see more I don't think I've ever heard of multiple MCL injuries ever on a single day. I don't think I've ever heard of as many Achilles injuries as I've had heard of recently. And the thing is, with Steve Smith's injury, it wasn't a bad hit. It wasn't somebody fell on him. He broke two very low foot tackles, and just going through those tackles and then coming through and landing and planting his foot, ruptured his Achilles. And that is something that's different than it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And so you may have less concussions, but you may have more injuries other places. And I know a lot of players would rather take a hit to the head than a torn ACL, because one, you can shake off and kind of get by and play the next week. It may hurt you 20, 30 years down the road, but the other keeps money.
Keeps the money flowing in the pocket.
So you're either crippled physically or crippled emotionally. Can't win in the NFL.
Yeah.
No, that's something the Chargers can too. Can we be honest with that?
Yeah.
The Chargers can't win.
Not this year.
I mean, there's 7 teams right now actually that only have 2 wins. But on the other side, there's 3 teams that are 7-0, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That there's that much space. I think this is the first time ever multiple teams have been 7-0.
The Bengals.
The Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Were.
No, still are.
The
Carolina Panthers.
Oh, the Panthers. Yeah, of course.
The Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Oh, there's actually 4 teams. I'm sorry. The Broncos.
Broncos are
also undefeated.
So, yeah, Broncos, Patriots,
Bengals.
Panthers, and Bengals.
Yeah. And if you don't know this yet, if you're one of those 2-5, 2-6 teams, is the San Francisco 49ers, who announced this week that they will be benching $126 million man Colin Kaepernick.
Woo, baby. Expensive bench.
Real expensive bench warmer. Vastly overpriced.
All right. Blaine Gabbert.
And how much does Blaine Gabbert cost, you think? Does anybody know?
Blaine actually pays
13 hot dogs.
Yeah.
And 2 giant pretzels.
Blaine is paying for his gloves and his uniform.
But on that note, so there was an infographic that's been rolling around the internet right now that's comparing Colin Kaepernick's season this year to that of Cam Newton, and saying that Kaepernick's not a bad quarterback, it's just a bad team. And I want to call bullshit on that right now, because there are a few things that Colin Kaepernick has that Cam Newton doesn't have. That's called wide receivers.
And a running back.
Well,
or used to.
Used to,
sorry.
Colin Kaepernick has Antoine Golden.
Had an opportunity to use him.
Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith, who are both Super Bowl champions with the Baltimore Ravens.
Correct.
And who can catch a damn ball and who can run.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton's got Dropper McDropperson, Ted Ginn Jr., who in this past Monday night game dropped a wide open touchdown to end the game. Just hit him in the hands and he dropped it. And a rookie who's been hurt, Funches. And that's it. And Jericho Cotchery, who's somehow still in the lead.
Well, Vernon Davis came back,
but now he's gone. He's in the Broncos.
Right, he hasn't done anything.
But what I'm saying is, Cam has a 7-0 team, not because his defense is spectacular. As we saw, they gave up a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter against a haggard-looking Andrew Luck and the Colts. And he has had a difficult schedule, and if you look vice versa, Colin Kaepernick, he just looks like he doesn't know how to play football anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple videos of him just completely missing wide-open receivers because he's just staring down his first option and hasn't developed into a quarterback that can read the entire field. And in the NFL, that's the only way you're going to be successful.
It reminds me of when I... And I'm not good at football. I don't understand football, but it reminds me of when I play Madden. And I'm trying to do an offensive play, and Chris Collinsworth is just telling me exactly what I missed every single time. And I don't even have an eye to that, but I watch stuff Colin Kaepernick does, and I even think I'm like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Where it's almost a Madden approach where I'm like, okay, like I don't know shit about coordination or anything like that, but what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, he just, unfortunately, I don't think capable of running an NFL offense, and I think he's proven that this year.
No, he was a prize point at the time that it came up. The opportunity, he struck the opportunity with a gold hammer. And then after that, I think it's just, it hasn't lived up to expectations. And
well, yeah, defense has just figured out, okay, we're just going to blitz.
Slam it.
He's only going to look at his first option, and we're going to, stop him every time.
Yeah.
No, and I am the beneficiary of a bet that I made earlier this season before it started with my roommate, who kept saying Colin Kaepernick's good. I just don't understand. So I bet him $20 that Derek Carr would have a better season than Colin Kaepernick. And I am fitting to collect on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if he didn't get benched, Derek Carr would have.
Oh, yeah. With Amari Cooper? Roll Tide.
Yeah.
So, I think I need to go collect on that bet and go get my money.
I'd almost put Charlie Whitehurst to having a better season.
I don't even
know. He's got better hair than Colin Kaepernick.
He absolutely does.
He's got the best hair in the game.
Doesn't look
best
like,
hair in the league.
Doesn't look like Squidward like Colin Kaepernick.
That's true, too. But, that is true, too.
All right, I'm going to go collect on my bet. Let's go to break. I need to go see somebody about my money.
You catch that?
I have my money.
We'll see you on the flip side. You
owe me.
Ooh.
Jinx. Now you guys got to kiss.
Ugh.
Or touch wieners.
Damn it. Fine. God damn it.
It's Dan here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pop Not Soda. I wanted to let you guys know about our friend of the show and former guest of the show, Chad Kavanaugh and Grunt 1B Comics. Right now, he is selling some limited edition Blamley, as he calls it, gear. It's sweatshirts, hoodies, t-shirts, tanks, that has his custom artwork from his comic books, that being The Map or Bedlam in Trouble Town.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out.
And if you haven't heard him, go check out the episode that he came on. He was a fabulous guest. And please support him. You can find that gear on teespring.com/Blamily. B-L-A-M-I-L-Y. Or you can look up his comic store on Etsy for Grunt 1B Comics. And get some great local and independent comic books, great storytelling, and support one of our friends of our show. So go check that out. Again, teespring.com/Blamily. B-L-A-M-I-L-Y.
No Asian hooker voice this time? Yes, yes, y'all. Once again, it's time for Brian's Homeless Movie Reviews. Thanks for the cardboard listeners. Appreciate it. And I know you're trying to choke down that vegan strawberry muffin you got. I mean, you're not impressing anyone. Throw that shit away. It's disgusting. Get some gluten in your life. Because this week, I am talking about a movie. I guess you can call this a movie. By definition, it does have a beginning, middle, and end. It
looks like a film.
Right. There's talking in it and movement.
Has subtle nuances of a film.
There's right. No episodes.
Don't know if it follows really the traditional movie arc. You know, the instigating event and dramatic turnaround aren't necessarily in a, what you'd call, true movie format. So anyway, enough chitter, chatter, and build up. This week, I'm going to be talking about Kung Fury. Originally, I saw this on YouTube probably a few months ago. I can't remember who sent it to me. I think it was Elliot, who's been a guest on our program. And I remember, you know, watching it and getting through the first few minutes and be like, okay, you know, that was funny. Cool. Come to find out, oh, it's 30 minutes long.
Oh.
And I sat there and watched the entire thing. You know, fast forward a couple months later, what do I see on my suggested Netflix movies? Why, if it isn't Kung Fury? And I just thought it was a sign. So I decided to talk about it. Guys, if you haven't heard of this fun, action-packed, 80s-injected, short... long, or I should say maybe long short, do yourself a favor and watch it. This film takes place in Miami in 1985. Crime is rampant. There are just guns being shot off in the street.
Sounds like a city and a location that I've never seen get filmed in a movie before.
Never.
Specifically action films.
No. Never once has 80s Miami been used as a backdrop for any sort of movie. So this movie does focus on our main character, Kung Fury, who obtains his powers by being struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra at the same time.
After his partner gets sliced in half.
After his partner gets sliced in half by a mysterious ninja.
Brian, can you... I'm sorry. I think I might have missed that. Can you say that one more time?
How he got his powers?
Yeah.
Oh, he was simultaneously struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't miss that.
Yeah. So, obviously, a traditional superhero backdrop. This event somehow teaches him kung fu and gives him super strength. So he decides to use these powers for good because he was a cop before being simultaneously struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra. In this film, you have time travel. You have Greek gods. Thor shows up. You have barbarians. There are dinosaurs. There's a giant mechanical eagle, an army of Nazi super soldiers, and then, of course, Adolf Hitler.
Oh my god.
In addition to.
In a half hour?
In 30 minutes. In addition to my favorite cop character of all time, Triceracops. And if you couldn't guess, he is a Triceratops who's also a cop.
I'm guessing he plays by his own rules.
He does not actually.
What?
He is Kung Fury's partner, new partner.
I'm assuming this has something to do with the time travel.
No. This is pre-time travel, actually. What? Triceracops is just another fledging member of the Miami Police Department. And when Kung Fury's partner is brutally murdered, he is now assigned to Kung Fury. And Kung Fury does not want a new partner, because actually Kung Fury plays by his own rules.
Well, yeah, his name's Kung Fury.
Yes, but Triceracops, he likes to follow the strict letter of the law.
He's by the book.
He is. Triceracops.
Does he ever say he's getting too old for this shit?
He does not drop that line.
He'd be like,
but he would be hundreds of millions of years old, and it wouldn't be funny and make a lot of sense. So anyway, those are just a few of the fun nuggets that you're going to find in this film. It's just like a complete throwback to some of those really hacky 80s action films, but they do it in a very campy and fun way. Where it's very meta in terms of, what they are having you watch, what minds that they put you in, and then also, just randomly throwing Hitler and the Nazi army into this story. It's just a really interesting, entertaining experience that I would definitely recommend, but just go into it knowing it's really stupid. It's just making fun of itself, but the fight scenes are actually pretty well put together and definitely violent, which I was always on board for. So Kung Fury, I'm giving 3 out of 5 quarters.
Ooh.
It is entertaining, but at the same time, it's got a fucking character in it named Triceracops. So, take that with what you will. But all I want for Christmas is a Triceracops doll. Dear Santa / Tim Allen. I've been a good boy this
year. That leads me to ask it. That's what I was going to ask. If you could see Tim Allen in this movie, what character would he play?
Tim Allen would...
Police captain, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, there is another very interesting character named Hacker Man, who actually builds Kung Fury, the space-time traveling device.
So he's not necessarily a hacker, he's an inventor?
Yeah, well, he can pretty much do it all.
Maybe he hacks life.
He hacks time.
Yeah, he wears one of those
space-time continuum
Nintendo power gloves and just goes to work on it. That's the perfect
fucking solution to everything, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then plugs it into, the old Linux computer.
He sounds like more of the Al Borland.
And then voila, there's a time machine. It's that easy, you know? Who would have known?
Oh.
Dan. Yeah. Dan, who do you think would be the character in it? Tim Allen.
Oh, I told you. Police Captain.
Police Captain?
Trying to keep Confiri in line.
Can you think of a clever name for him?
El Capitan.
Okay.
Cap- so works.
No, but he's Captain El Capitan.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. Got it.
And it's Tim Allen. No Spanish at all.
And he's a fan of the Los Angeles Angels.
What?
What?
The Los Angeles Angels.
But he's in Miami.
Oh, that is. But I mean, that's like another double pun on El Capitan. It's like,
I get where you're going.
Yeah, but no.
But
no, that doesn't work. I think that's enough. No, never mind.
Okay. I see what you did there.
All right, I'm following.
Maybe a little bit too smart for us right now, right. Actually.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, sometimes being inventive in that way is too much for your own good. And that's what I would like to tell Twitter.
Ooh.
Because they're trying to be inventive, and they're fucking up.
I mean, Jack Dorsey's in the seat for less than a month, and he's already making some big changes.
So, as we mention every week, all three of us, well, kind of Brian, all three of us are on Twitter. regular users. I think I've had my Twitter account for, God, like 6 years now.
Whoa.
No, I take that back. So, 2008. So,
Math
Let's is 8 years going on.
He's a triceratops of Twitter.
Yeah. And there have been some features in it that they haven't touched since it's come out. That being 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you can retweet an account.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could favorite a tweet.
All things that you can do on Twitter.
Now, if you are not a regular Twitter user, a favorite is kind of saying like, oh, I enjoyed this post. And what it does is it puts that post on a list of all the posts you've enjoyed. So if you're wanting to go back and look at something real quick that you wanted to reference, or if you wanted to be like, oh, let me look at some funny shit and share with somebody. That's how you know. As an account, if your tweet gets favorited, you're like, oh, somebody enjoyed it, cool, whatever, you move on. And the symbol for that has always been a star. Because it's never been like about like a connection. It's just been like a, oh, hey, this is enjoyable, cool. But now Twitter has changed it. They got rid of favorites. They're now calling them lights. And the symbol's no longer a star. It's a heart.
Big changes.
Now, this may sound minimal. But for me, it comes off as, hey, let's just be like Facebook and Instagram and be their bastard child of their appreciation systems.
Right. You get the like from Facebook and the heart from Instagram.
Exactly. And it makes no sense. And now it doesn't add it to a list anymore.
It doesn't?
No. It's a separate list now.
Oh, between.
Yeah. It's dumb. This whole thing is dumb. There's no need to change it. Why would you go out of your way to just take the third thing, like, there's only three things you can do to a tweet. You can read it, you can retweet it, you can reply to it, and then, well, and you now like it.
Oh my god. That's the fourth one. Oh my god. Last thing I ever checked, I never gave a shit about that much shit on social media.
You favor all the tweets, though.
So? That's why
so I'll now fucking, nothing changes for
that's
you.
Why if you fucking change it to a goddamn poopy face, I'll still fucking favorite everything.
What I think why this struck a nerve with me is the fact, and a lot of people, is that a lot of people who use Twitter enjoy that it's a microblogging system and that it's not a standard social media network where it's not about collecting likes. Because that's what Instagram and Facebook is about. Who's going to like my post the most?
But you're saying, so just changing the symbol and the actual word of it?
You're changing the culture of, I think, that usage.
So one symbol change and one word changes the entire culture of everything?
No. The culture of what that function was. Like, that function is no longer the same.
Okay.
It means different things. It comes off differently.
And you don't think anybody abused that function until this point?
No, the people abused it like Brett Nees. But, No, what I'm saying is they didn't need to do it. It was an unnecessary change, which a lot of their longtime users have been very upset about the past couple days.
Yeah.
And there's no point to it. It doesn't improve anybody's lives by making this switch. It just annoys people. You're getting too into what it was.
We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's because people don't like change when they're comfortable with things, and that's the result of this. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to, I don't think, drastically affect any of the social norms that go on with Twitter.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Is anybody going to confuse themselves and, like, not like, does a heart not do exactly what a favorite does?
I don't want to heart your post, but
yeah,
but I don't get.
Well, I do agree that it takes away from the originality of it, because you're literally taking the two things from your other
competitors,
right? And, you know, putting it.
But it serves the same function, though.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm saying it is the same function, but why would you want to make yourselves more like your competitor? Like, you had something that's
you had something that was unique, and it was individual.
That makes sense. But I mean, from a user standpoint, though, I don't know why they have any complaint, because it literally serves the same function.
Right.
Yeah, that's where I'm saying it's an unnecessary change.
Yeah,
they're meddling with stuff that doesn't need to be meddled with.
I mean, yeah, change it to a hamburger.
How about you let us be able to edit a tweet, like when you have that fucking spelling mistake?
Because that's not what they're in the business for. They make so much money off of people that do not delete their stuff, and then they sell it to TMZ and stuff. They are never going to allow that function.
An edit, like when you accidentally misspell something,
they're never going to
put a timer on it. Put a 2-minute timer.
No. That's barking up the road.
No, because then you're going to have people arguing like, oh, I changed it before 2 minutes and whatever.
I mean, I get it. Change is rough.
And that's not what Twitter serves its purpose for. I mean, that's like, look at how it's publicized these days. Like, it's people making an ass of themselves a majority of the time on Twitter that markets all of these stories. So why would they allow any sort of edit function?
Just like, it's just flash information, you know? When someone's at scene of something.
It's a great news
live
feed.
Live tweeting, yeah.
Like, last night in San Diego with the heavy rains and lightning and thunder for, like, randomly 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or even in San Diego today when there was a sniper that had the airport shut down. And Twitter is my go-to, because you don't only get official reports, but you can also get your community's input on the stories going on. And that's unique. And hopefully they don't mess with that in the future.
Yeah.
Which they will.
Yeah.
Probably.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, it boils down to, like, at the end of the day, if you were going up to a menu and it was food or something, and somebody, instead of going, hey, yes, do you like this, or no, do you not like this, check a box, yes or no, instead of going that, they went, hey, do you want a smiley face or a sad face to tell us how good this food is, would you be that confused about it?
Well, no, I think it's
would
more
you be
like,
that in an uprage
it's
about
more
it?
Like if one day people decided that food's no longer called food, it's called drinks.
Yeah, but it's a business. It doesn't serve the customer as much as it's trying to serve the business at the end of the day.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, the analogy, you're almost right, but it's like if you have food and they stop calling that category food and they called it appetizers, it's just basically taking the functionality, keeping it the same, but you're like, fuck it, we're just going to call it something else today.
I hear you.
And now everybody needs to call it something different.
Yeah. Change for no reason for change.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That bothers me. But if you change something with purpose, I can get behind that. And that's something that Marvel did, where I think they announced maybe last year or 2 years ago that Iceman came out. He came out the closet.
Came out the ice tray.
X-Men.
Came out the ice tray.
The freezer?
Flaming hot. Sorry, that was a terrible. That was terrible. Damn it. I knew I should have not said that.
Marvel officially confirmed that for the history of the character, he has been gay. And that upset
this whole time?
Comic book fans.
You know, who... Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, just looking at my Facebook today, with some colleagues who are in the radio, podcasting, review, I don't know what other thing to call, like, our, what we're doing. But
just casting, bro.
Yeah, we're casting. Other casters.
Unwarranted opinions.
Yes. They were upset with the fact that they had to go back and meddle with 50 years of history. And I don't know if they understand that a comic book isn't history. It's fictional.
Right. Much like what are in the history books.
Oh.
And
that's a story for a different day.
Fuck you, Comic Corp.
That was a flaming hot one, too.
But, no, and I think...
Cheetos.
They don't understand. I think it came... This argument came around the same time when Michael B. Jordan was cast to play Johnny Storm, who is...
Gay?
Flaming Hot. Because it was a black actor portraying what has been a white character. And people didn't understand, why are you taking away white characters? Why can't you just make a new character and make him black? And I think people had the same opinion when they're like, well, why can't you just make a new character and make that character gay or LGBT? And I think people understand that there's a sense of pride in these characters who have been established. Like, and it's really hard for a new character to gain traction. And that if you took what society was 50 years ago when these comic book characters were created, diversity was not something that was popular. And you weren't really allowed to publish stuff about characters who were LGBT, who were from different races, different backgrounds. That wasn't going to sell. People weren't going to publish that comic book. So the reason why it's important to make a character like this have a diverse background is because we now have the opportunity to go back and be like, yeah, this would be awesome if a character like this, that this is important, that has had these adventures, could be a part of this community.
Yeah, and I think if you thought about it, if it were real life, too, where he was, you know, obviously gay his whole life, and in this role, he might not actually come out until, you know, much later in life when he would be comfortable in saying that.
When times have changed.
Exactly. When people are more tolerant, when it's more accepted, when, you know, Bruce turns to Caitlin and is a beautiful and stunning woman. Yeah, I just think if you look at it from that aspect, then it's definitely a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
And who the fuck cares? Like, this man's gay. So what?
Well, what's so, like, strange about it, too, is they have had alternate timelines and alternate reiterations of damn near every single comic book character. And this is the one that, like, all of a sudden, like, that's what comic books are, is their reiterations of their characters. When they burn out or when they get killed or whatever, they come back in different forms or whatever. This is like, it's mind-blowing to think that people are in an uproar about this. It's just something that's historically been a precedent that exists in comic books.
Right.
And you would think with a community who has garnished recent acceptance and popularity with superhero movies in the past 10 to 15 years, because if you look before the turn of the new millennium, that was kind of like, oh, geeky, frowned upon, like, you're wasting your time reading the comic book, or that's just for kids or whatever, who may have come up against some intolerance. You think they'd be more accepting.
Adversity?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, they want to keep everything pristine the way it was. And that just comes down to, I think, it comes down to privilege. And you got these kids who don't understand what these communities, who haven't been able to have representatives be superheroes, they don't understand what it means to them. And I think it's a narrowed view if you get upset because freaking Iceman came out as gay. Nobody got mad when Dumbledore came out as gay.
No. And I mean, to think that, like, your community, like, how much of an asshole are you to think that your community can have a superhero, but somebody else's community can't? Yeah. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, how much of a prick are you to just think about that?
Well, that, and I can understand if maybe it were something like, you know, Cyclops were gay and he was just using Jean Grey as like a beard.
Well, Cyclops, you know, is kind of a hoe. And, as Marvel has gone on, may not be, he should have had an experiment here.
Though. Right, right. But you know what I'm saying. Like, there's no backstory of him with a girl. It's Bobby Drake, right? That's Iceman's name. Yeah. I know it's Bobby.
Yeah. It is Bobby.
So, you know, like, you could do the same thing for Storm, because she's never with a dude, you know? With Beast, that would fit, probably. Nightcrawler,
I think they also, I think they also announced that, like, was it, like, Jubilee, also LGBT?
Yeah.
I think they announced that, too.
Mm. She had the haircut.
But I think what it comes down to is,
if I can make them all gay, man, like, make a whole comic book series, piss them all off.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
I mean, like, fuck them all. Yeah, like, you even had people get upset when Miles Morales took the mantle of Spider-Man.
Get over it.
Okay. Like, people got upset when Falcon is now taking over as Captain America. Because, God forbid, a black superhero is Captain America.
That's ridiculous.
People need to grow up.
Yeah.
Embrace it. And just focus on what makes comic books and superheroes great is that their wish fulfillment. And that, stop being selfish.
And you made a great point too, Dan, is you go to seek these things to escape, or whatever, the intolerance that you possibly are dealing with. How are you going to escape that and then push that intolerance on somebody else? Strictly because of, like, you know, what you want. And, I mean, it's a ridiculous notion. It's one of the most hypocritical things we've seen.
And you know, in those comic books, who ends up being the most intolerant or the most inept to change? It's the villains.
Yep. Yep.
Boom.
Drop that mic, Dan.
Boom. Turn the page. The end.
I think that was a good episode, yeah, guys.
Yeah, I think we should leave.
Should we end it on
guys
that?
On that. Thank you again for listening to
Make them all gay, Dan. Do it.
That was Brian Owens. You can follow him on Twitter at BOwens619.
I'll heart that.
Got one like already. More See? Than you, suckers.
Boom.
That is Brett Niece. You can find him at Niece's Pieces on Twitter. I hate both of you. I don't know why I come back.
Well, you can't do that on Twitter, Dan. Sorry about that, brother.
I have been all Dan Perez. You can follow me at Dan_Perez_. You can follow our main account at pop_notsoda. Find us every Monday on iTunes Podcasts or popnotsoda.podbean.com. And if you missed our plug in the middle of the episode, go support our friend Chad Kavanaugh and Grunt1B Comments on Etsy or at teespring.com/Blamily, BLAMILY. Thank you, and we will see you next week. This theme song is very similar to Home Improvement.
It's got a lot of tools in it.
A lot of sound effects.
That's the thing about it, yeah.
There's no jackhammer, though.
There's no, like, Tim Allen growl in it either.
You know what I was thinking about? We've played this 35 times and not once been called by these people. I know.
Oh, that's them at the door?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm knocking.
Hey, we wrote the Doug theme. Give us some money.
They're probably all dead by now.
Yeah, they're zombies.
Actually. Now they're really gonna show up.